students do the overnight shift. And here I'm a young one. I love it. And my day job, I'm ancient. I'm the oldest person in the office. And then I come down here and I'm a kid. So, again, as Jim said, we are all a little shattered. So I will try and kind of focus my remarks as best I can, but I may wander off a little because my attention really is shut down. The most important thing to say, I think, is that it seems to me that digital and the big society are made for each other, whatever people feel the big society is, but the notion that it's about bringing people together, the sense that you're bringing people together to do something, digital clearly is the, I think, defining shift that has taken place that enables that to happen. It just allows more people to connect with each other more cheaply than ever before, and if you're trying, as a matter of policy, to do that, precisely that, to get people to get together and do things on a peer-to-peer basis, as Jim said, then digital clearly is the technology to do that. And I think it is that shift, and social is part of this, is the shift from, if you like, we can watch a transition where in the early days of digital was about very big organizations with a lot of resources buying very expensive websites and pushing information out to people. It then kind of went to what I would call a kind of geekocracy stage, where people have blogs, and if you were a geek and you could program, you could be a personal publisher in your own right, and it spread out then to a few thousands or tens of thousands of people who could do that. And what we've seen over the last 2 or 3 years, with products including the service that I work for, but lots of other services as well, is a transition now to where everybody, every person and their dog can now be a personal publisher, can engage, can make connections. So the power that you now have, as soon as you turn on a broadband connection and you access the mainstream websites for many services now, is just absolutely phenomenal and is an order of magnitude different from what happened before, where you still either needed money or technical skills. Now you need neither money nor technical skills in order to access this connectivity. I think we're now, as a result of that, starting to see a shift in some of the more interesting projects that have been going on, projects like the My Society founding projects that were about getting government information, putting it out there. They always had in mind that it wasn't about just putting information out there, it was about putting information out there, engaging people, and people's actions then influencing the organizations who had published the information in the first place. And that was really difficult at first, and it was, if you like, a better way of doing the one-way communication. Parliament.uk was crap, so you build theyworkforyou.com, theyworkforyou.com is much better, but it's still essentially about publishing the information. The vision was always that it was about much more engagement. I think in the next generation of tools we're seeing from people like My Society, they're now looking at transport, fix my street, fix my transport, and so on. You're actually going to see that proper engagement. I look at a service, I look at the information, I realize there's something wrong, but now I have all the ancillary tools, the social tools that allow me to get together with people and try and fix it. And I think that potentially should be revolutionary. There are some key elements that we need to kind of make this happen. Community networks are a very important part of this. Again, if you arrive and you get some information and it tells you there's something going on that you want to engage around, you want to do a big society project, and you can immediately see that there are 15 people in your local area interested in the same thing, and there's a way of connecting with those local people, you're much more likely to be motivated to do something. And that immediacy of engagement, again, I think is what, again, not just the tools of the mainstream providers, but the kind of local providers that Will's been working with up and down the country are now offering. So that ability to connect very quickly to a local community and start to engage. More broadly, globally, we're seeing this as a major phenomenon. I've been working over the last few weeks on issues related to activists in Tunisia. Without prejudice to the outcome of that particular political debate in Tunisia, there was no doubt that debate was taking place through digital channels, and it was a debate that was about both information sharing and taking action. And we're seeing that again and again around the world. Sometimes that causes a reaction against the platforms, but generally it feels as though the ability to take part in the debate and the wish to organize will overcome most of the barriers that people try and throw up against it. And so we're seeing it at those, if you like, those most extreme examples of activism, but then we're also seeing it, I think, at very local levels as well. So when my boss, Mark Zuckerberg, came over here a few months ago, he went to a developer garage in London where our developers get together. The developer community was much bigger than the Facebook community, actually, as the ones who develop around the platform. And he found, on his first visit here, there were people building big society applications. They were building, people aware of a site called Pledge Bank that's been around for a few years. They were building a social pledge bank with Facebook plugins that made it much more sociable experience. So we're seeing, say again, sort of macro global level, but also at the micro local level, some elements of this starting to happen. I'll just close by saying where I think the key elements are that we need to get right. I'm sure you've been discussing this all day, and I'm actually quite interested to hear the kind of ideas you've been coming up and engaged around those. But the things that strike me as being essential for what I would call realizing the potential that is now there. The internet as a force for change has been like hyped up, there's this kind of whole utopian vision, and then people say, no, it's all overblown and it's not going to happen at all. I actually think that there were things missing from the infrastructure that are now being put in place that mean it is going to happen, and it's starting to happen actually really quite quickly. I think those pieces are intergenerational links. So the typical phenomenon we now see on Facebook is a 30-something has a baby, and they say to their 60-something mum and dad, if you want to see the baby photos, you've got to sign up for Facebook. And we see a huge amount of intergenerational now connectivity across these platforms. So the old idea that the techie stuff was for kids really is just disappearing. So our user base is less than 15% under 18, so 85% over 18. Our fastest growing demographic is 35 plus. And you're seeing that across, again, a range of services now where intergenerational stuff is really making a difference. I think the data part is a key part of the foundation, but if it's just dry, dusty data, it doesn't do anything for us. But having data available that is useful to people, that enables them to organize around it, is critical. And I think those planks are being put in place with Tom Steinberg's Transparency Board in a way that potentially is quite profound, as long as they maintain the level of political support that they have today. The app infrastructure that Jim mentioned is absolutely critical. You can just make things tasty very quickly now, because all these bits of code that you used to have to make are now in place. It's just like three lines of code and something looks really tasty and people adopt it. And if you ever see, watching one 5-year-old with an iPad is interesting, watching 3 or 4 5-year-olds with an iPad is just mind-blowing, because they sit around and they just like organize around the device and organize the stuff on the device, and it just blows your mind. You can see the app model, which now is available on the iDevices, but increasingly is available on other platforms. I think on the Nintendo Wii Superb, I think on these new BBC type boxes, the Freeview box with the internet connectivity, again, the app thing on the TV screen will be superb. So this whole idea that you can take something quite clever, use a few lines of code and make it really tasty and exciting, now spreading across a range of devices to keep up the infrastructure. The other piece is the broadband infrastructure. If anyone wants to put broadband infrastructure into Cumbria, Rory would like some more help with that. So, broadband infrastructure is pretty good now in the UK, but there are places that still need fixing. But there's a critical mass that's there. The question now is not if you deliver a service, whether or not it can get to enough people to make your service viable. The question now is, can you get to everybody rather than a market access issue? And then the final piece that I think is really interesting is location-based services. And again, particularly in the big society context, the location changes everything. The fact that you are, and there are lots of issues and concerns around how that's work enabled and privacy implications on, which I think is very significant for us to address. But the reality is that users adopt location-based services very readily, and users get a huge amount of value for that. And if you're talking about people organizing around a local event, a local issue, around a local pothole, or whatever it is that they want to organize around, location just makes it all a lot easier. And when it becomes easy, when you remove the barriers, you're going to get a lot more activity, I think, around local kind of services. So I'll just close by saying, I think the platform is now there. The planks are in place for the innovation to take place. The social piece is a really, really important part of that, as well as these other pieces. The question now is, how do we complete it? How do we fill in the bits that aren't there? 35 plus is growing very fast, but there's still a lot of people who aren't included. Broadband is great, but Cumbria is still not sufficiently included. How do we get those other bits in? And then how do we, I think, particularly champion and promote those people who are doing the good stuff, and particularly in the political context, because we find them all over the place, including in government. How do we make sure they get the recognition and they get the support they need so that good practice is spread? I hope that wasn't too much at this time of day.